Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 52, on Building Yourselves Up. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message on December 9th, 2018.
Jude verse 20, New Living Version says, "But you, dear friends, must continue to build your lives on the foundation of your holy faith and continue to pray as you are directed by the Holy Spirit. Major storms and hurricanes have what is called steering currents." I don't know if you've ever kind of studied that a little bit, but because they have these steering currents, these currents keep the storms moving in a certain direction. They kind of steer the storm. And actually, the end result of that is that the storms are less dangerous than they could be if they were just totally random. So when you see predictions of hurricanes and so forth, and they say a hurricane is starting out in the Atlantic, for example, they give a trajectory or a path that that hurricane is going to make. And that's based on those steering currents. Well, there's a comparison in our lives as well, because our life also gets out of control if you lack steering currents. One of the ways to stay on track and to follow the men is to follow the men and the women of God in the Bible, because they've already walked this walk. And the Bible says that their stories are left for us for instruction, so that when we come to the end of time, when we who live in the end of time face situations and circumstances, we can look back to those men and women of God in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and see how the Holy Spirit worked and talked to them and walked with them and helped them in their lives as they navigated the troubled waters. How did they stay on course? How did they stay on their trajectory with God? If God gave them a mission, how did they stay on that mission and not fall off? That's helpful to us, because we can then see from their insight and from a composite of the insight that all of them received, we can have a picture of how God can lead us and guide us and direct us by His Holy Spirit in our own lives. So I want to go to the book today. In this case, the book of Acts, a New Testament story, the story of Paul and Silas when they were thrown into prison. You're probably familiar with the story. But just the backstory to that story is that Paul and Silas were seeking God on where to go. And if you remember, they wanted to go certain places, and the Holy Spirit told them no. A couple of times He told them no. He said, "No, don't go there." And then presently they had a vision of a man from, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia calling them and saying, "Come over here and help us." And they perceived, the Bible says, that that was the Holy Spirit speaking to them and directing them not to go to Asia, but to go into Europe instead. So one of the results of that is that you and I are here, because Christianity came to America from Europe. If Paul hadn't gone to Europe to begin the mission and the ministry in Europe, perhaps we wouldn't be sitting here worshiping God today. Perhaps America would be a whole different kind of country. We don't know that for sure, but at least we know that these are our roots. They go all the way back to the Bible when Paul went into Macedonia. So then he comes, the Bible says, into this city, and he wins some people to the Lord. I believe Lydia, the seller of purple, she gets won to the Lord, and the Bible says that they had prayer meetings together. And on their way to the prayer meeting, they meet this little girl who is demon-possessed, and she begins to say great things about Paul and the party that's coming to minister. You know, when you go to places and minister, it's pretty interesting. Many times this scenario is played over and over and over, and you kind of get the feeling that, I don't know if I want the devil advertising my meetings. I don't need his advertisement, nor do I want it. But this demon-possessed girl, the Bible says, for many days she kept saying the same thing. And finally, Paul became so annoyed and so disturbed inside that I guess he finally came to it and said, "I have to do something about this. I can't keep preaching and have this demon-possessed girl announcing my meetings." it just isn't right. And so the Bible says that he ministered to the girl. She got set free from the demon power. And then all hell broke loose because her masters who owned her realized that she just lost her power of fortune telling, and they just lost their profits. And so they raised up these people against Paul and Silas. The Bible says that they beat them, and they got them thrown into prison. They got them thrown into the jail, mistreated them badly, and mistook them for being foreigners, even though Paul was a Roman citizen. So all of this stuff was going on. That's sort of the backstory to the story that I want to bring you today. In Acts chapter 16, verse 22, starting with verse 22. It says that the crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore their garments off them gave orders to beat them with rods. That was an illegal act for a Roman citizen to be beaten that way. Verse 23 says, and then they had inflicted many blows upon them. They threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. So let's pray for a moment. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this story. We thank you, Lord, that it's not just a story. It was a reality for Paul and Silas. They were living out their walk with the Holy Spirit. They were carrying out your instructions to them. They had gone to the place where you had sent them, and now they've faced opposition. They've faced something that could stop them. They faced something that hurt them deeply and badly. And so, Lord, we just ask you that you would open our hearts to learn from this story how we can navigate the troubled waters that we may be entering in as a nation, as a city, as families, as a church family. Father, that we would be ready and prepared and listening to the voice of your Spirit so that when we take action, it'll be appropriate action. And that our faith, Lord, will be strong and sure and founded on your word. And for it, we give you all the glory and honor and praise this morning in Jesus' name. So, we have in the book a great example of living in the Spirit. Remember the setting. These people, these men were reviled. They were mistreated. They were illegally punished. They were confined in the local dungeon. Not a happy place for the preacher boys. But it happened to them. And this is their response. I mean, I think this is one of the most amazing stories in the Bible. This is their response. The Bible says in verse 25, Acts chapter 16, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now, that's kind of the normal reaction to persecution, right? Praying and singing hymns, worshiping God. And not only that, it says the prisoners were listening to them. Some of the versions say the prisoners heard them. In other words, this wasn't, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I know it's a nice children's prayer, and we've taught our kids some prayers like that in times past. But that's not the kind of prayer meeting and worship time that they were having. It probably was a little more like what Brother Enoch was leading just a little while ago when we were worshiping God and praying in the Spirit and coming before God with our known language and our unknown languages. And I think it must have been that way because it caught the attention of these prisoners. Now, I mean, you know, just a normal prayer meeting, they'd say, ah, those guys are just having a prayer meeting. It's midnight. Would you guys just shut up? We're trying to sleep in here. It's bad enough being in prison, and then you come in and you, but no, this was something that captured their attention, something that was greater than just some guys saying some words and singing some songs. Amen. This wasn't Peter, Paul, and Mary. This wasn't you two or to you or any of those groups. Amen. This was Paul and Silas worshiping the God of all creation. Amen. And praying in a way that was touching hearts and touching lives in the prison. Amazing, amazing response to all of this treatment that they had gotten. And it said as they were listening to them, verse 26, it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Isn't that a coincidence? And immediately all the doors were opened and everybody's bonds were unfastened. And when the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. What an amazing story of two men worshiping and praising God, the power of God coming and shattering the atmosphere of that prison and shaking it to the foundations and opening every prison door and bringing the prison keeper to the place of suicide, because he was going to lose his life if he lost his prisoners, because that was his charge, that was his duty, his Roman government job. Praise the Lord. And then God's love steps in. So here we see them praying and singing in the Holy Spirit. Did they feel like it? At midnight? Are you kidding? After all they'd been through? And then this is their response to the jailer. Verse 28, it says, Paul cried out with a loud voice, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. And the jailer called for lights and rushed in. Trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Amen. What an amazing response to God's love and compassion that came out of two men who had been beaten, who had been mistreated, who had all kinds of injustices thrown against it. You know, I hate injustice. I hate it, especially when it happens to me. And maybe I've not experienced the injustice that you've had experienced. But when you're in that kind of a situation, love wins. Amen. And that's what Paul and Silas saw as they poured out their love for that jailer and for those prisoners. And they got a response of, what must I do to be saved? What an amazing, amazing event. And then, verse 32, it says, they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. He took them in the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all of his family. Then he brought them to his house, and he set food before him, and he rejoiced along with the entire household that he had believed in God. That church became one of the amazing supporting churches for Paul's ministry work. He writes about it later on in the book of Philippians, about how out of their distress and poverty, they became his only supporters when he went to the next area to minister the gospel. I think it was Thessalonica. So it was amazing how God raised up that church. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, he did some mighty, amazing things. So what do we see? What three things do we see out of that section of the Bible? First of all, we see them praying and singing in the Holy Ghost, singing in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, whether they felt like it or not. And at midnight, and after beatings, after a terrible day. I mean, it had to be one of the worst ministry days of his life. And yet, he could, through the power of the Holy Spirit, come out of that thing to a place of worship and praise and prayer in the Spirit. The second thing is that they were living in God's love. When they had an opportunity to get revenge on the jailer and those who had beaten them, they passed up the opportunity and poured out the love of God to these people who had so mistreated them. Exactly the opposite of what you would expect in such a situation. And then finally, you see them reaching out to others, actually reaching out to others when they could have just said, just let us out of this place. The doors are open. We're going to go. We're going to be on our way. I want a shower. I want a bath. I want a hot bath. But they preached the gospel to these people before the shower, before the hot bath, and before all of the nice things, before the food was set before them. They reached out to them with the good news of Jesus Christ. life-changing news that changed the whole complexion of the situation and brought the gospel of Jesus Christ and a new church to that city. Praise the Lord. That's when bringing someone to Jesus was more important than a hot shower. They saw the opportunity, the window of opportunity, to reach a whole family, a whole household, and a prison for Jesus Christ. Pray, love, reach. So now I want to go back to where we launched this thing from the book of Jude, from the 20th verse, Jude's letter. It really is an instruction manual for the last days, an instruction brief, maybe you would call it. It's not very long. It's one of the shorter chapters. And maybe how to navigate rough times, because in the beginning, he's talking about contending the faith, contending for the faith in the first part of the book of Jude. He's talking about fake news. He's talking about false teachers and fake news and wickedness and strife and rebellion and judgment that's coming, impending judgment. And then he begins to address the believers from verse 20. He's making a distinction between this is the way the world is and this is how believers live. And this is what he says to them, these instructions. He says, "But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, awaiting the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment that's stained by the flesh." So, did I mention that when your life gets out of control, if you lack spiritual steering currents, that you might be in trouble? But Jude here, he reveals that the first steering current, if you want to call it that, is praying in the Holy Spirit. Look what he says in verse 20. He said, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Now, the term praying in the Holy Spirit, you might just pass that by. And, you know, some people have taken the view that it's just praying a spirit-directed kind of prayer. But if you examine it in the light of the rest of the New Testament, oftentimes you see them praying in the Spirit means that they were praying in their prayer language, praying in the Holy Ghost. And what Jude is saying here is that this kind of prayer, I'm not discounting that you can't pray Spirit-led prayers in your own language, but this kind of prayer, led by the Spirit, coming out of your spirit being, not with the understanding, it says that kind of prayer is a way that you can build yourself up in your most holy faith. Sometimes people don't understand the power of that kind of prayer, and they think, well, it's just, you know, I can't make sense out of this. It doesn't make sense. I'm just, you know, these words are coming out. I don't understand them. But you don't really have to understand. The Bible says you can understand them. You can pray for the understanding. You can pray that the Holy Spirit gives you interpretation of what you're praying. And many times we do that. Many times we pray in the Spirit, and then we pray in English, or we pray in our native language, and God begins to reveal exactly what we've been praying through. It doesn't have to be, because the Bible says that when you're praying in the Spirit, He can. You're praying to God, not to men, so you don't have to understand. But sometimes it's good to have the understanding, and sometimes the interpretation will come. That's different and differentiated from the gift of speaking in tongues, in which that needs interpretation in a public way. If somebody gives a message in tongues, it should be interpreted. That's different than just praying to God when just He needs to understand. So there's a distinction even in 1 Corinthians, where Paul is talking about that. There's a distinction between your prayer language and your public use of that gift of tongues to bring a message to people. Oftentimes people are confused by it, because when Paul's talking about it to the Corinthian church, he goes back and forth between the two. And if you don't understand that he's talking about two things, you just think it's all one subject, and therefore, you know, those crazy people in that church, they shouldn't be doing this, because it's not right. And it can be confusing, but it doesn't have to be. And when you begin to see the distinction between the two, and you begin to see how God uses both of those aspects of the Holy Spirit, one for your prayer language and one for the sign gift of speaking in tongues, then it becomes more clear, and you begin to you can benefit from that instruction and from that knowledge. Praise the Lord. So, but anyway, Jude here, he's revealing this, that this is a powerful tool that people can use to stay on track in tough times. Because this is all in the middle of what he's saying about false teachers and rebellion and strife and things that people are causing around people. He's saying that this gift and this prayer, this kind of prayer, will set you on target with God and keep your trajectory of faith so that you stay on target. Praise the Lord. This kind of praying builds up your inner man and keeps your faith strong. We had a friend, when we were first beginning to learn these kind of things and beginning to walk a faith life, we had a friend that we met, I think it was at like a Valentine's Day banquet, a man who later on established a really great missions ministry. But he and his wife had just moved to Tulsa to go to a Bible school, and he had left his career. He was a coach. He was like a high school coach, and he left his career to go to Bible school. And I mean, I don't know about you, but when you kind of like just, okay, I'm not gonna work a secular job. I'm just gonna go to Bible school. And then you kind of think about, well, how are you gonna support yourself? Who's, you know, where's the money going to come from, and so forth and so on. And they had those thoughts, but he said, you know, God just directed me. And the way he directed me was he just directed me to pray in the Spirit. And if I would pray in the Spirit, he would make provision for me. So he began to do that day by day, and presently he found a part-time job that was able to work out his schedule with his school schedule and be able to support them. But the amazing thing was is that God began to teach him about prayer, and as he prayed in the Holy Spirit, God gave him supernatural insight into the business which he had just taken the job. And so he rose to the top of the ranks and the employees in that business, and by the time he graduated from Bible school, the company manager, the guy that owned the company, made him an offer. He said, you can name any price that you want to pray, that you want. I want to put you in charge of this company. Just name the price. Whatever price it is, you know, whatever salary you want, whatever kind of benefits you want, whatever, you just name it. I want you to stay. I don't want you to leave. I want you to be at the head of this company. This is what I want you to do. But he said, I couldn't do that because God had already told me what I was supposed to do with my life. I didn't go to Bible school to become the head of this company. I went to Bible school to get a foundation for launching the mission that God put on my heart. And he launched one of the great missions ministries of our time. Really an awesome minister that has lots of missionaries all over the world. So through praying in tongues, God made provision for him and for his wife all the while that they were in Bible school, and blessed them continually with wages and so forth and so on. And then, but then he had to make a decision about the opportunity. So Jude says that we should pray in the Holy Spirit and build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Number two, the second spiritual guideline in these verses is living in God's love. Jude says to live in such a way that God's love can bless you as you wait for the eternal life that our Lord Jesus Christ in his mercy is going to give to you. Isn't that amazing? If you want to navigate troubled waters, then there's a way that you need to live. You need to live with the power of the Holy Spirit operating in your life in a special way that love, God's love, can bless you as you wait for the eternal life that our Lord Jesus Christ is going to give you. So we live in the present and we look forward to the future. Our future is being caught up with the bride of Christ if we're alive and remain when he comes again, or to come up from the grave and be raised to be with him if we've gone to be with him before he comes back. So we have that to look forward to. But while we're here, we need to live a particular kind of life. And the second spiritual guideline for that life is to live in God's love. Because love wins. Love conquers. We saw in the story of Paul and Silas that love conquered the situation. And that God began to move in the scene and take care of the injustices and take care of the problems and the situations that had been inflicted upon them. Praise the Lord. So if you can continually stay in the center of the love of God, you'll be able to wait patiently for God's mercy to bring you to eternal life. You know, it's not how you start that counts, it's how you finish that counts. And during that walk, we really, really, really need the Holy Spirit. And then the third and final steering current is reaching out to others by obeying the commands to rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment, verse 23. So where should our focus be? Our focus should be on continually soul-winning souls to keep us off of the reefs and the rocks of life. Because we could shipwreck. You know, many people do. The Bible talks about people who have their faith shipwrecks. But you don't have to shipwreck when you have the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. All your energy will be directed toward what God loves, and that's people, souls, people who have an eternal destiny. And if you'll invest yourself in those areas, in those three areas, God will keep you off the rocks. First one, praying in the Holy Spirit. Second one, living in God's love. Third one, reaching out to others by obeying the command to rescue them. Praise the Lord. So we're going to break into focus groups for just a few minutes here, about 10, 15 minutes. And you'll get an opportunity to discuss this scripture from the book, Many People Coming to Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So just to wrap up this morning, sometimes folks ask me about, okay, well, how do you get filled with the Holy Spirit? How do you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? And so I usually just direct them to go to the book of Luke. So whether you've received this morning or not, or maybe you already have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but you can help many people just easily come into that experience with God by taking them to the book of Luke, the 11th chapter. It says in the 9th verse, the first part of the story was Jesus was telling the story about, a father not giving his son a snake or a stone or things to eat that weren't proper. And then verse 9, he says, "So I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you." So one of the first things is that it has to do with patience. You didn't get where you are in life overnight. You got that way by spending days, weeks, months, years doing whatever. And so when you begin to open your heart to God, you have to be a patient person. And just open your heart to receive. Verse 10, he says, "For everyone who asks, receives." Everybody say everyone.
Everyone.
That doesn't leave out anyone, does it?
Right.
If you ask, you will receive. Amen. Everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, will find. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. That's the greatest news. Because some people feel like, I'm not worthy. I've done too much. Too much water's over the dam. I can't come back to God. I can't do this. I can't do that. It's too late. But it's not too late.
Amen.
Amen.
If you can read that scripture, it's not too late.
Amen.
Because the door is open. The door is open to you. Verse 11 says, "You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? How much more? How much more? How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit? Now, of course, you need to engage in the process, because the supernatural thing is that the Holy Spirit comes in and gives you supernatural words to speak. The supernatural is not the person who's speaking, that's you. But you do have to engage. You have to move your mouth, you have to move your tongue, you have to move your lips, you have to make an expression. But it's the Holy Spirit who, not from your head, but from your heart, begins to give you the words to say that form your new prayer language and that open the door for the gifts of the Spirit to come into your life in a spectacular and awesome way. We don't get to choose the gifts. The Bible says we should covet the best gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we should earnestly desire. Covet means to earnestly desire the best gifts. So there's nothing wrong with wanting gifts of prophecy, gifts of interpretation, gifts of healing, miracles, faith, those kinds of gifts, the gifts of the Spirit that are outlined in the Bible in Corinthians. You should want them. You should earnestly desire them. And you should earnestly desire the best ones. What's the best gift, though? The best one is the one you need when you're ministering to somebody, right? Might be discerning of spirits, might be working of miracles, might be gifts of healing, might be tongues and interpretation. It's just, God is the one who knows everything. He knows what the best gift is, and the Holy Spirit can choose to give you that gift at that moment. Sometimes we operate in certain gifts. Like, I operate oftentimes in word of knowledge, because God just put that in me early on. I don't always. I can't turn it on and off like a switch. But I can flow in it. And I can allow God to show me some things. But whether or not you have a gift that's used frequently, you will never have a gift that's used frequently if you never use the gift. If you always are second-guessing or always overthinking and always saying, well, that might just be me thinking, you will never operate in this kind of thing, because it's operated in faith. Faith says, I hear from God. I know His voice. The voice of a stranger I will not follow. I can operate. I can move. I can do what God has called me to do. So it's not about trying to make things happen. You know, sometimes, I know when I was a young believer, I wanted to do everything. You know, I wanted to make it work. But as hard as you try to make things work, they don't work. Because it's not you. It's Him. But when you come to the place where you're at the end of yourself and you're into Him, then He can use you. And He will use you in awesome ways, in spectacular ways sometimes, and sometimes in just kind of nondescript, small ways, but life-changing for another person. Sometimes you don't even know what effect you're having on another person. You don't know what you've brought into their lives unless they come back and tell you. That day, when you showed some love and care and concern about me, I got set free. Sometimes the smallest things are the biggest things. And God wants to use you in those ways. You just have to be there. You just have to show up for the job. So never give up on God. Amen. Never quit asking. Never quit seeking. Never quit knocking. There's always more. There's more. There's more in the giftings and the ministries. There's more opportunities. There's more for every person who wants to seek God. And if you will do that, how much more will He not pour that into your life? Because He probably wants it even more than you. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to wrap up with just this thought, that prayer and love and outreach will steer you well. Prayer, love, and outreach. Those are the three things outlined in Jude, verse 20 through verse 23. And those were the things illustrated by the story about Paul and Silas in the prison. Their prayer life, their love life, and their life of outreach. All three were manifested there. Even when the ship of your life seems to be off course, this will still work. Because God is on course. And he's given you a trajectory of faith. And if you stay on that trajectory, you'll hit the target. You know, when they make those missiles and they have guidance systems and so forth and so on, the mark is on the target. And the guidance system puts it on the trajectory to hit the mark. And when it hits the mark, there's a big explosion. So let's have big explosions in the kingdom of God. Let's have big explosions in the Holy Ghost. Let's have big explosion for what he wants to happen for us to go to the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you'll let those steering currents guide you and guide your life, one day you'll stand before God, innocent of sin and with great joy. That's what verse 24 says in the book of Jude. So, Father, we just thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. For this opportunity to be together this morning. We thank you that it's in you that we live and we move and we have our being.
Yes. Thank you.
We thank you, God, that you know the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning, and that you're the one who directs our course. So, Father, we're determined today not to lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge you so that you can direct our path and make our path straight. We praise you for it, and we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If you came this morning and you need prayer, you wanted prayer, just come on up.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House Podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.